No pressure. Just answer the question, where do we come from and why are we here?
Oh, thank you for that. It's nice to be here, Melissa.
Nice to have you with us. So as I mentioned, this is part of an ongoing lecture series. WJCT is involved. The Florida Times Union will be publishing about this soon. The title, Faith and Reason, the Origin of Humanity, the deepest of questions.
It really is. And one of the great things, I think, about this series at UNF, it's a series on civil discourse. And so we actually tackle issues for which there may not be shared community answers, but the goal is not really to answer the question. The goal is to have a conversation where people who often don't talk to each other have an opportunity to do that.
And that is the point, that people of good faith can disagree, all evidence to the contrary lately.
Yeah, and people of no faith.
And people of no faith. Why do you feel it's important to emphasize this in our community right now?
Well, there are a number of issues that play out in the public arena that hinge on this. And one of the important things is that there are now 14 states across the country that, through voucher systems and charter schools, fund public education in situations where creationism is taught. And there are people who are concerned about that, and also people who think that that's really important and a good idea. So it's kind of a flashpoint.
It certainly is. And you'll be getting into this discussion at the UNF event with faith leaders, a doctor, and a biology professor. Interesting.
I think it will be.
Can faith and science coexist on that stage?
Well, I'm confident on the stage that it will. President Delaney is the moderator of these events, and he's very good at fostering civil discourse. But really, again, the goal isn't to resolve the question. And I'm not, from my perspective as a professor of religious studies, I'm not sure that the questions are resolvable in a way that will that could bring a consensus. I actually am not confident that that's true at all. But I do think that we can have a conversation about it that's more civil than what we've had of late.
And we've had several instances of particularly uncivil debate, whether it involved naming Dr. Parviz Ahmed, a colleague of yours at the university, to the city's Human Rights Commission, debates over whether the Jacksonville City Council should have sectarian prayer
exactly.
to open meetings. These mm-hmm. are issues that boil down to the local level have been very important in our community.
Well, the first of the events in this series was the discussion on public prayer. And I was on that panel as well. And actually, it's one of the things that I'm most proud of that I've done here in Jacksonville, because it brought together people of really differing viewpoints. Frankly, it's not exactly easy to find someone willing to come and represent a conservative fundamentalist Protestant position on a panel at a university. And we worked really, really hard to get Pastor Baker from Clay County to agree to join us. He was anxious. He was nervous. He was afraid that he would be attacked. But in the end, he went away saying that he understood better why some people found public prayer in that manner problematic. But also the people who don't like the sectarian form of public prayer went away understanding why someone like Pastor Baker might feel uncomfortable praying in a different manner.
Yeah, at least understanding your opponent's viewpoint, that's so often we very often fall short of that.
I think that's true.
Now, there's a current issue actually on your own campus regarding student religious centers. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm not sure which one you're referring to.
Okay, I guess I'll have to shelve that question then. But you will be discussing a lot of other issues, including, this is a good one, what is the perfect science curriculum on the origins of life?
Yes, when I saw that question, I wrote back and clarified again. You realize that, because in religious studies, what we try to do is translate across divergent worldviews. So I certainly won't be advocating a particular science curriculum. I'm neither a scientist nor a creationist. So my role in that is to just sort of help foster conversation.
Is that the tack you take on all of these debates? You don't necessarily give your personal opinion.
Yes, that is actually, and that's how we work in the classroom in religious studies as an academic endeavor as well.
And we'll go to the phones in just a moment on this question as we discuss Faith and Reason, the Origin of Humanity, a preview of UNF's Civil Discourse Forum next Tuesday night at the UNF Fine Arts Center. And another question that will be posed, how do you resolve faith and reason when they conflict in civic life? How can you engage in civic issues that potentially conflict with one's religious beliefs? Is that an unanswerable question?
Well, I actually think ultimately there are forms of faith that are irreconcilable with what many of us understand to be a modern secular division between church and state or between science and faith. That's just some forms of religion, I think so.
But not all.
Oh, definitely not all. Actually, one of my favorite religious studies scholars, Bruce Lincoln, draws a division between what he calls minimalist religion that separates kind of life into different spheres and sees religion as functioning in a more private way versus what he calls maximalist religion, which wants religion to permeate every part of life.